Exactly at one, so we have just a few seconds left.
Excellent.
Madam Chair, if you could start just a few seconds after one, that way I'm getting everything. I will commence right at one as well. Thank you.
Hello, it's 1 o'clock. Welcome to the Regional Water Quality Control Board, San Diego Region, Monday, December the 18th meeting. I want to welcome you. If anybody has forgotten to sign in, please take a moment and sign in at that table in the back. And that's also where you can pick up speaker cards to sign in and hand to the clerk of the board. I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
Speaker card is virtual. I've got a QR code up at the table for them to.
Oh, okay. The speaker card is now virtual, and there's a QR code. If anybody has any problems with that, make that known, and we will send somebody to help you. If you're joining us from Zoom, it's the same thing. You also need to fill out a speaker card, and we encourage you to do that.
There's also a bag of mistletoe back there. If you'd like to take some when you leave, please help yourself.
I'm sure we will have no problems as long as it stays in the brown paper bag. Will the clerk please call the roll now?
Ms. Blair?
Here.
Dr. Olson?
Here.
Mr. Strawn?
Here.
Ms. Warren?
Here.
And Chair Cantu?
Here. We have a quorum. Our first order of business is our public forum. Any member of the public may address and ask questions of the board relating to any matter within the San Diego Regional Water Quality Control Board's jurisdiction, provided that matter is not on the agenda or pending before the San Diego Water Board. And each speaker would have 3 minutes to make his or her comments. Do we have anybody in the room who has a public comment to make on an agenda item not on the agenda, on an item not on the agenda or anticipated shortly? Do we have anybody in Zoom land who is willing to address us? Okay. We'll move into our action items. Our first and only action item is a time schedule order. Consider a time schedule order to be issued to the United States section of the International Boundary and Water Commission for discharges to the Pacific Ocean through the South Bay Ocean outfall from the South Bay International Wastewater Treatment Plant. At this time, I'll administer the oath to all persons intending to testify on this matter. If you are here in person or attending virtually via Zoom, please raise your right hand and answer "I do" after I read the oath. Do you swear that the comments you are about to give are the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
You may lower your hands. Today's order of proceedings will begin with a presentation from the San Diego Regional Board staff, and then the USIBWC will provide comments, and then we will take comments from the public. Our staff, board staff presentation will be by Vicente Rodriguez.
Good afternoon, Chair Cantu and members of the board. I am Vicente Rodriguez, a water resource control engineer with the San Diego Water Board. I have taken the oath. Also with me over Zoom is Brandy Outwin-Beals, a senior water resource control engineer with the San Diego Water Board. The purpose of this item is for the San Diego Water Board to consider adoption of tentative time schedule order number R9-2023-0189, for the United States section of the International Boundary and Water Commission to come into compliance with its NPDES permit. In today's presentation, we will discuss the following items: an overview of the South Bay International Wastewater Treatment Plant, summary of the tentative time schedule order, public comments, and staff recommendation. The South Bay International Wastewater Treatment Plant is owned by USIBWC and operated by their contractor, Veolia North America, LLC. The South Bay International Wastewater Treatment Plant treats wastewater from the city of Tijuana and is designed for secondary treatment and for a flow rate of 25 million gallons per day. The South Bay International Wastewater Treatment Plant was originally planned as a secondary treatment facility. However, due to financial constraints, the plant was initially constructed as an advanced primary treatment facility in 1996. Secondary treatment facilities were constructed at the South Bay International Wastewater Treatment Plant by 2013. On May 12, 2021, the San Diego Water Board reissued NPDES order number R9-2021-0001, which regulates discharge from the South Bay International Wastewater Treatment Plant to the Pacific Ocean through the South Bay Ocean Outfall. The board also adopted cease and desist order R9-2021-0107. The cease and desist order required USIBWC to address shortcomings, inadequacies, and maintenance issues at the South Bay International Wastewater Treatment Plant to ensure consistent compliance with the 2021 NPDES permit. On December 21st, 2021, the San Diego Water Board amended the cease and desist order to revise certain time schedules and require USIBWC to submit quarterly compliance assurance reports. On March 8, 2023, the San Diego Water Board adopted amendments to the 2021 NPDES permit. USIBWC has self-reported approximately 245 exceedances of effluent limitations and untimely complied with other permit requirements. Most of these self-reported effluent limitation exceedances are the results of excess inflow of sewage from Tijuana, Mexico, that surpassed the design flow capacity of the South Bay International Wastewater Treatment Plant. In response to these exceedances, the San Diego Water Board engaged in the progressive enforcement process by issuing three notices of violation to USIBWC in September, October, and November of 2023. The tentative TSO has six directives. This slide lists the first two. The first directive is the most important and requires USIBWC to comply with secondary effluent limitations by August 15, 2024. Achieving secondary treatment standards will return the discharge to compliance with provisions of the NPDES permit and be protective of the environment. Returning the discharge to secondary treatment standards will require USIBWC to perform much needed repair and maintenance on the treatment system. Based on information from USIBWC, staff believes that August 15th, 2024 is a reasonable deadline for USIBWC to complete the repair and maintenance that would achieve secondary treatment standards. This date is appropriate given the increased levels of communication and coordination between USIBWC and the San Diego Water Board. USIBWC has been forthcoming regarding updates about the South Bay International Wastewater Treatment Plant and making diligent efforts to be transparent with the San Diego Water Board and public. The primary goal of the TSO is to ensure the discharge complies with secondary effluent limitations consistent with the NPDES permit. In order to assist USIBWC in achieving secondary treatment standards by August 2024, the second directive of the TSO outlines specific tasks and interim goal dates. These tasks and interim goal dates are included in Table 2 of the tentative TSO. The task and interim goals are based on task completion approximations self-reported by USIBWC in its quarterly compliance assurance reports or through other communications provided to the San Diego Water Board staff. Some of the Table 2 tasks are needed for USIBWC to achieve secondary treatment standards and precede the August 2024 deadline. Other Table 2 tasks have interim goals after August 2024. These tasks may not be necessary for USIBWC to achieve secondary treatment standards, but completion of these tasks will ensure that the facility will achieve long-term compliance with secondary treatment standards. The tasks in Table 2 include the installation of pump number 3 at a Hollister Avenue pump station. This pump has been physically replaced with a new pump on November 28, 2023. However, the installation still requires electrical wiring. USIBWC expects this pump to be operational by the end of December and may provide a status update about the pump during its presentation today. The replacement of effluent pumps number 1 and number 5 by February 28, 2024. The rehabilitation and clean out of the primary sedimentation tank by September 30th, 2024. Repairs of the effluent meter, effluent pipe and valves by September 30th, 2024. And the replacement of junction box number 1 by February 10th, 2025. Directive number 3 requires USIBWC to present an oral report to the San Diego Water Board that summarizes USIBWC's efforts to achieve compliance with the directive in the tentative TSO. This report will be agendized as an informational item for a board meeting approximately 180 days after the tentative TSO is adopted. Directive number 4 directs USIBWC to continue to submit quarterly compliance assurance reports and include information in the quarterly compliance assurance reports regarding time schedule tasks, achievement of interim goals, any delays, and any changes to scheduling, projected timelines, and project costs. Directive number 5 directs USIBWC to include a visual depiction, such as a Gantt chart, of its progress towards achieving time schedule tasks, interim goals, and secondary effluent limitation compliance. In order to prevent last-minute requests to amend the August 15, 2024 deadline, Directive number 6 requires USIBWC to submit any requests to amend this deadline to comply with secondary effluent limitations as soon as a delay beyond the reasonable control of USIBWC is recognized, and at least 45 days prior to the compliance deadline. Any request for an extension shall include a justification for the extension. The San Diego Water Board or the executive officer may take all relevant facts into consideration when determining whether to grant the extension request. Staff believes these directives will assist USIBWC to achieve compliance with secondary treatment standards and keep the San Diego Water Board informed of USIBWC progress towards that important goal. The San Diego Water Board received two comment letters on the tentative time schedule order, one from the Port of San Diego and a joint letter from Coastal Environmental Rights Foundation and San Diego Coastkeeper. The Port of San Diego's comment letter expressed support for the tentative time schedule order. The comment letter from SURF and Coastkeeper provided a brief history of enforcement actions the board has taken against USIBWC and described the state of disrepair of the South Bay International Wastewater Treatment Plant. As described by USIBWC Commissioner to the San Diego Water Board in September 2023. The comment letter goes on to describe the tentative time schedule order as inadequate and requests that the San Diego Water Board pursue other enforcement mechanisms to ensure USIBWC's compliance with the permit. At this time, staff believe that this tentative time schedule order is the most appropriate approach to address the issues at the South Bay International Wastewater Treatment Plant. Since USIBWC is a federal agency, the San Diego Water Board is limited in its enforcement options against USIBWC, and more punitive enforcement actions may not be appropriate. But more importantly, USIBWC is making a diligent progress towards achieving secondary treatment standards. Compared to the past, USIBWC is being transparent and providing regular updates to the San Diego Water Board staff and the public on their progress. The increased levels of communication and cooperation are encouraging. This tentative time schedule order capitalizes on the positive relationship between USIBWC and the San Diego Water Board and memorializes USIBWC's commitment to addressing the failures of the South Bay International Wastewater Treatment Plant. Staff recommends the adoption of the revised tentative time schedule order R9-2023-0189 as revised in supporting document number one. USIBWC will be presenting next. This concludes my presentation. I am available to return to address any issues that may come up. Thank you.
Thank you. Does the board have any questions for Mr. Rodriguez, or should we wait till after we hear all presentations? We have a question.
I just have one question, and that's regarding the 45 days prior to the complaint deadline. All right, so if, and those are the, are those the dates shown in table one? You had a table two, but. But in our board package, it's in supporting document one.
And yes, the table one is a summary of an existing order. Okay. There, it's a summary of their cease and desist order. Table two are the interim goals that this tentative time schedule order is laying out to help ensure they come into compliance with secondary treatment by August 15th. Now, there's some days, there are some dates that are past August 15th, and those dates, August 15th, 2024, and those dates are there to help ensure continuance of compliance with the NPDES permit.
Okay, and is there only one junction box, or all the other junction boxes? Well, junction box one is now operational, as I understand it. It can be hand operated. Is that?
That's my understanding as well. We can have USIBWC give more details. My understanding is that there is a plan to completely replace junction box two. However, there's an interim fix with chains to have some type of control. So junction box one is what it's like the keystone of controlling the flow from Mexico into the U.S. There's another junction box as well, junction box number two, and that one takes a flow from junction box one. It takes the flow from the some gravity drains, and it then feeds it to the treatment plant. So junction box two is also important, but it's not
the operational.
My understanding it is, but we can have you USIBWC give a more detailed status of its operational status.
So I would like to get that. And then isn't there supposed to be a flow meter too on junction box?
Yeah, so there's, it's not on junction box one. It's inside the treatment plant. Uh-huh. It's after the headworks. So after the screenings, but before the actual treatment, there's a meter that is currently not operational, but they do have the new meter on site. And my understanding is they're working on a contract or proposal to install that meter.
All right. So that's all my questions right now.
Okay.
Thank you,
Mr. Ms. Edgy, Ms. Warren has a question.
Oh, yes. Ms. Warren?
Hi, can I go?
Why don't we see her?
Celeste, can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can hear you. Go ahead.
Great, thank you. My question, Vicente, was assuming compliance with the August 2024 deadline, how quickly will residents in and around Imperial Beach sense a change or feel relief based on the terms of the order?
Could you repeat that again?
My question is, assuming the August 24 deadline is met, how quickly will folks feel a difference or a change or a positive impact based on the terms of this order?
Vicente, if I could.
Yeah.
Chair Cantu, members of the board, Board Member Warren, thank you very much. It's a very good question. The issues that are currently affecting water quality in the Tijuana River Valley and on the coast are largely the result of uncontrolled sewage discharges in Tijuana and on the coast. The treatment plant itself, according to our review of the receiving waters monitoring, is not a significant contribution to those issues in the river valley or on the coast. It is nonetheless imperative that it come into compliance with secondary effluent standards. We are hoping that repairs that are underway that will hopefully soon restore the operation of the PBC La River diversion will at least provide some relief to the residents of Tijuana, of Imperial Beach rather, but the issues on the coast will probably continue to be impaired as that wastewater is discharged to the coast down current about 5 miles from the border. So the answer is we won't see a significant difference in coastal water quality either way until those sources are controlled in Mexico.
Yeah, we need to keep in mind there's really three sources that are impacting the water quality of our beaches and in the Tijuana watershed and the residents who live there. We are able to manage and have under permit one of those three sources. The other two sources that originate in outside of the United States of America, we have no control over. And we need to simply have faith, I suppose, through the State Department in their deliberations and communications and negotiations with their counterparts in Mexico, because this board has no ability to reach across the border and affect any change. therefore. So we can do and focus on the part that we do have an opportunity, have some authorities, but the other two parts, unfortunately, we do not.
And Chair Cantu, if I can add just one more thing to my earlier response. It is imperative to restore the plant to proper operations in order to even begin the work on expanding the plant up to 50 million gallons per day to take additional flows that are currently being released to the Tijuana River. So in part, Board Member Warren, the answer to your question in the longer term is the expansion of the International Treatment Plant and the completion of all the Minute 328 projects in Mexico. And we are looking at several years before we see the completion of that. The EPA and IBWC just released their request for bids for the design build for the treatment plant expansion. So that process is starting, but it's the first step is to get this plant back into proper operations.
Do you have a follow-up question, Board Member Warren?
No, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Rodriguez. I believe we have Mr. Morgan Rogers from USIBWC.
You have my thank you. Okay, Chair Cantu and board members, thank you very much. Appreciate the opportunity to speak. And Vicente, thank you for your presentation. So what I'd like to do is just very briefly give some background on what the issues are.
And
yes. Oh, I'm sorry. My name is Morgan Rogers. I'm the Area Operations Manager, the San Diego Field Office of the U.S. Section of the International Boundary and Water Commission. I have taken the oath, yes. Okay. Okay, next slide. First slide.
Right there.
I got it. Here, okay, here we go.
And this button right here.
Got it. Okay, so I want to talk about what the problem is, which is primarily the excess flows into the plant, resulting on our non-compliance with our permit, and the repairs that are undergoing right now to bring us back into compliance. So first of all, these are the weak points in the system here. So we talked about junction box number one. This is where the flows enter the plant. So about upper 90% of the flows from Mexico enter the plant through this junction box one. We do get some flows through our canyon collectors, but most of it comes through junction box one. Two valve or gate valves, both are non-operational, so we cannot control the flow into the plant. Whatever Mexico sends us, it comes into the plant. And when it rains, we also can't reduce the flows, such as Tropical Storm Hillary, where we had up to 80 million gallons per day above our design and permit level of 25 million gallons per day. So that's an issue right there. So also in Mexico, this is the international collector. There is a fracture in the pipeline right about here. And right here, it's like.
Could you just show that again? Oh, I see. Oh, all right, there? Good, thank you.
Okay, so in the past, when we did try to restrict, we had some restriction of flow in junction box one. So we know that if we were to restrict this flow to 25 million gallons per day and there was excess flow, it would back up, come out this fracture here, and it'll be a transboundary flow in the Tijuana River. So even if we could reduce flows to 25, that would result in a transboundary flow. Okay, the other weak point here is in Mexico, this is pipeline 1A. This ruptured, I have a slide on that a little later, but this ruptured back in July of 2022. We lost about 25 million gallons of capacity in the system. So that 25 million gallons had to go somewhere. So it came as excess flows into the plant as well as flows into the river. Okay, here's a picture of, this is like day of that rupture. It was basically a geyser. There's two parallel lines here, two lines. You can see one line here. This geyser basically eroded this whole slope, uncovered this line partially, uncovered this one completely. You can see this is broken off right here. The weight of itself, all the dirt around it was eroded away. This is hanging in air and broke on itself. So this one, they fixed this in the 2 weeks, CESP. Did a great job. This other one, they gave us an estimate they'd have that fixed within 90 days. So we figured, well, we can handle excess flows for 90 days. However, 90 days came and went, and we didn't know what was going on. There's a highway project coming through here, so they decided to postpone the repair of this line and do it with the highway project. You saw estimates of this highway project being completed in spring of 2024. And we knew that we just couldn't sustain those flows for that long. So our commissioner and Mexican section commissioner, with a lot of work, they accelerated the repair of that project and repaired this line here. And this line was reconnected, restored, and reconnected a few weeks ago. However, we're still having trouble getting this pipeline energized. So with this pipeline out of commission, again, the flow that was normally in that pipeline is now going to the plant or it's going into the river. And so this slide from, we started seeing the excess flows since that July, so in August through current. So 14 of the past 17 months, we've had excess flows. I also want to make sure that you understand that we made a conscious decision back then to accept these excess flows. We thought we could sustain these and the repair would be just around the corner. So we accepted these excess flows knowing that we'd be out of our permit compliance. And we felt it was better to partially treat this wastewater and discharge it 3.5 miles off the coast rather than not take it and you have untreated wastewater going directly into the river and dump it right on the beach. So we stand by that decision. And as a result of the excess flows, not only we exceed the permit in volume, but also we weren't able to treat as well. So the water quality was also out of compliance. And you can see here, but there's 35 water quality parameters we test for. And during this whole time, every month between 8 and 17 exceedances. And then on top of that, we had Tropical Storm Hillary. We had a lot of flow, caused a lot of damage. So all these excess flows brings in excess sediment and trash, and it wears extra wear on pumps and valves, caused a lot of damage. So all this excess flows is built up over time, and it finally it had quite an impact on the plant. Lots of damage. Yeah.
I just wanted to ask a quick question. So all your pumps were operational prior to Hillary?
No, I wouldn't say. A lot of some pumps we're working on already, and some pumps were lost during Hillary.
All right, you have 6 pumps, is that correct?
Yeah, let me go to the next slide. We'll go to these, okay. Okay, what happened there? Oops. Okay, I have a slide on that, if you can just hold that thought. Okay, what we are doing to regain compliance, we have awarded $10 million of projects in the FY24. If we realigned existing funds within IBWC of $8 million, and that's coming to the plant. And then again, as Mr. Rodriguez mentioned, we expect compliance by summer of 2024. Okay, so these are the ongoing repairs. Okay, we reported a while ago, 3-4 months ago, that we had only 1 of 6 influent pumps operational. So right now we have 3 operational pumps, and we have a brand new pump ready for installation, and we're expecting an additional new pump at the end of this month. And on top of that, since we do have a very long lead time in ordering these pumps, we are going to order 4 more pumps to have on standby. So those pumps we've had trouble with much earlier than Hillary. Okay, our primary sedimentation tanks, we have 0 of 5 operational. These went down last March. This is really the critical path towards just regaining compliance. We are about 60% completed in rehabbing our first of these primary sedimentation tanks. We expect that one to be online in February. And when that's online, we'll take 2 more down and clean and rehab. And so again, this is the critical path. This will get us compliance by this coming summer. We have 7 of 7 operational sludge tanks. This is in our secondary treatment. We reported a while ago, we had 1 of 2 pumps are operational. Now we have 2 pumps operational. And also we're ordering 5 pumps, so we have some pumps on hand. We have some non-potable pumps. This provides water for the operating the plant, such as cleaning, washing things down, also for priming some pumps. The primary non-potable pumps, there's four of those pumps. And we actually, these four pumps are secondary. We don't really use these as long as the pumps at the secondary are operating. But there were two of four. We did report zero of four of those pumps operational. We now have two operational, and we're ordering four more pumps to have those on hand. The secondary non-potable pumps, which is the ones we use primarily, we reported earlier we had one of five pumps operational. We now have three, and we have five pumps on order.
So I understand the lead time on the pumps. Approximately how long does it take to install them once you have them?
Pardon?
How long is it approximately?
It took a year to get them.
How about how long does it take you to install them?
Oh, install them? Oh, probably a week. You got to order, get a crane out there. And no, it's probably a week.
The big thing has been the lead time in buying.
Yeah, absolutely, yes. Okay, we have two storage sludge tanks. This is where the sludge that we generate, the primary and the secondary, gets pumped to these tanks, one of these two tanks. We have one of two tanks operational, and that is sufficient for operations. Each tank has three pumps, so the operational pump has two of the three pumps that are operating. So we are ordering, we do have a spare on hand, and we're ordering some standby pumps, so we'll have those on hand for the future. We talked about JB1. We do have a contract. It was a little less than $6 million, so it was a very big ticket item. It's in the design phase right now, and we expect that to be completed in February of 2025. So this replaces that entire box. You have to bypass the existing box, building a new box, putting it on the pipe. It's a big project. Now, we talked about this temporary fix. I just got word today it's not going well, so I'm not sure this will be successful. Apparently, the fittings and the tracks for the gate are severely corroded, and so we may not be able to move this gate up and down. So we were hoping to have this operational, and I'm not going to say it's not working yet. We'll wait till the end of the day. We have a crew from one of our other offices out here doing this for us. So anyway, we hope to get some kind of a control over flows with this temporary, and hopefully that'll work out for us.
Mr. Rogers, other wastewater sewer treatment facilities have mutual aid. They can't be expected to have everything that they need for all circumstances. So they have mutual aid agreements with mm-hmm. their neighbors and people mm-hmm. around the region so that they can help each other out.
Yes.
Do you have any mutual aid agreements with any other kind of operations or any of your other plants in Nogales or other places?
I would say, unfortunately, most of the equipment we use is different. Usually when these things happen, we have contacts with the city and the county, and we put calls out, do you have a pump of a certain spec? And we've never been successful in finding it, but we do have contacts that we can go out to. But I'd say in general, the plant is from 1997. Some of this equipment is outdated. You just can't find it anymore.
Right.
Or nobody has it on hand.
Right. Well, that's a lesson for all of us then.
Okay. The Hollister pump station. This went down completely after Hillary. All the sediment that came in with the flow just clogged up the pumps. The Hollister pump station pumps the flows that come through our canyon collectors and pumps that to the plant. So we reported earlier after Hillary, zero of four pumps operational. We now have three operational, and that third pump is operational. The electrical connections have been made, and we have two new pumps on order.
Oh, go ahead. So I would like to ask, perhaps I misunderstood, but I thought this JB1 was fixed temporarily. You had a solution fixed.
I'll tell you what, we were very hopeful. After the last time I talked to Vicente here, I was very hopeful that it would be fixed this weekend. We have a crew working on it today. I think they're wrapping it up today. And the outlook right now is not good to getting this to work. And that the tracks for the gates are all corroded. And
now, couldn't you have assessed that before this group came? I mean, you can't get in. There's no entrance into this junction box.
No, we had to fabricate a cage in order for somebody to get in there and lower it down. That was part of the project.
Okay. All right, but the junction box has been out of order for quite a long time.
That's right, yes.
And so prior to the commencement on November 23rd, it was a lack of funding why you didn't go forward, or can you explain?
Yes, this has been on our capital plan for years. but it keeps getting pushed out and out. It's a very expensive project. This one was just under $6 million. So it was just a matter of priorities, and it's, you know, there's always something more important, but it got pushed out, but it was finally funded a year ago.
All right, you know, this board has worked very hard to try and facilitate funding.
Appreciate that, yes.
For that, and therefore, it's very important to us since are in a position where we also, I mean, if we wanted to act, we just take away your money, which doesn't help the problem at all, and we really want to resolve the problem. So I'm really kind of disappointed about this junction box. So maybe what we should say is, as you go forward, if something appears like you may be able to repair it, but it's not going, but you haven't actually repaired it, then that's transmitted to the staff, and therefore can be transmitted to the board. Because I was told, oh, it's fixed, and there's a hand crank that you can use, mm-hmm. which someone can do with one hand. Therefore, it sounded like it was operational.
Okay, well, my apologies for the misunderstanding. It was a work in progress.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
I said this before, but I'm going to repeat it. It was a year or two ago we were down there looking at it, and I remember looking at that junction box, and whoever your staff person was that was leading the tour told me point blank, we don't worry about that. We don't use it anyway. So you understand our skepticism when we're told, you know, well, we've been trying to get it for a long time. It didn't seem to me that anybody was working too hard to try to get it.
Let me tell you,
I understand it was a funding issue, and I know it's a hard battle, but
okay.
But you got to really want it to start with.
I'll tell you what. I would say that we were managing the flows with the junction box as it was until that Mexican pipeline broke. We were under 25. We were able to manage the flows by working with Mexico, telling them to turn pumps on or off at their various pump stations. So it really wasn't, you could have said, well, that's probably why it wasn't funded immediately. It wasn't urgent because we were managing the flows. But with these excess flows, we just can't do that anymore. So we needed to get this fixed. So that probably had some urgency to get it funded.
And Chair Cantu, if I could again, Board Member Olson and Board Member Strawn, I apologize for any miscommunication on my part. I guess I was more optimistic in seeing the fix that it was really operational, although Morgan did indicate that being able to clear rags and debris that were blocking the free movement was an issue. Nonetheless, they have been able to maintain flows at or below 25 million gallons per day since the end of the last crisis with the tropical cyclone Hillary. So my optimism was, I think, coming from the fact that we're controlling flows into the plant. Nonetheless, this is one of those one-of-a-kind components in the treatment plant, which was core to the 1997 design, which was a series of compromises with a lack of redundancy and a lack of off-the-shelf replacement. So this isn't a key issue, as Morgan Rogers has identified. It's going to take some time, and it's going to be inclusive in the expansion of the treatment plant. So this is not just a repair of today. It's also providing capacity and reliability in the future. I'm hoping that they are indeed able to manage the valve in the interim, as I thought that they were. But this will be an issue that we continue to come back to as we continue to meet with them on a weekly basis to update the board and the public on the status of the plant. So again, I apologize for any optimism on my part or miscommunication, but I do appreciate the candor that IBWC has had with us in terms of the status of repairs.
And again, we expect to be in compliance by next summer. And that is all I have. Do you have any questions? Yes.
I have a question about your secondary treatment. Okay. Right. With if your screens and grit control aren't exactly working correctly, and then your primary sedimentation basins aren't working correctly, that has to impact the long-term viability of your secondary basins.
That is correct. That's why we're out of compliance. We're not taking the solids out of the primary, so we do get some carryover that those solids into the secondary, and that's where we out of compliance. That's correct.
Right. So what I'm concerned about is that you get your bar screens and all your pretreatment back in place. You get your sedimentation basins and your, and now your secondary will not be functional because of what you've done with solids that have come over from the primary. And therefore the aeration system, which I imagine is at the bottom of the tanks, could be impacted by the sediment that's coming in.
You know, it could be. I'm not sure I would say that that will keep us from getting into compliance. We are in the process.
Well, let's just have a what if. Because what I'd like to see is us try to get ahead of this in either being able to examine the state of the secondaries. Once you get, you said you're going to have one primary tank cleaned and then you're, that will be operational, and then you're going to take the others out, the other two, I guess, primary sedimentation measures you have. So is it possible at that time to do some reconnaissance on your secondary?
Absolutely. And I'd say we're doing that. We're not there yet, but we will do that.
All right. Well, I want you to know that I'm going to be asking our executive officer, Mr. Gibson, to please stay in communication with you about that, because mm-hmm. what I would really like to see is for us not to complete that and then find out we have a major problem with the secondaries.
That has been on our weekly agenda with me and Vicente. So.
All right. Thank you, Vicente. Yeah. Thank you also. Yeah. Thank you. It's just, it is,
that's
it's
a great,
my
great
field,
comment,
so.
And absolutely, I agree with you.
And also, thank you. We've really seen a change in the transparency with your weekly reports and the information that we're receiving, along with what the public's receiving, and that's very much appreciative.
Okay.
I know that takes a lot of energy, and it takes energy away from the focus of the real work at hand, but nevertheless, we really do appreciate it, and I think it goes far to tell the community that you are making some progress and that you are committed to making progress, and in lack of actually having the progress being made, it's very important that that transparency remain.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much for that.
Okay.
Okay, at this point, we'll call for any public comments. Do we have any speaker cards from people in the room or on Zoom? Does the clerk have speaker cards or speaker indications?
We do. Philip Misagos. And he has had time ceded to him.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
One person in the room has ceded her time to him as well.
Okay. I don't believe you were here when we administered the oath.
I was not, Madam Chair.
So I'll administer the oath now.
Sure.
Will you raise your right hand? Do you swear that the testimony you're about to give is the truth?
Yes. Yes, I swear it is the truth.
You may lower your hand. Thank you very much.
Thanks. Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Philip Misigas. I'm the Executive Director of San Diego Coastkeeper. Can you hear me? Okay. Coastkeeper and SURF have already filed a letter on the initial TSO, so I'm going to read from some additional comments we have on the revised TSO today. We continue to have the same concerns despite the revisions about the adequacy of the TSO and the steps the board has taken. In particular, my comments today, which I'm going to read from a letter that we submitted to the board, but the board declined to accept. Our comments today are focused on exceedances of other hazardous substances and not so much about the sewage, ongoing sewage
problems.
Right.
One of the purposes of having this meeting today is to receive any comments that anybody may have.
Right. Thank you. And I believe I have 6 minutes. Is that correct? I don't think I'll need more than that. I may not need all that. So.
Traditionally, it's 3 minutes.
Okay.
Perhaps the clerk was saying something about a second person in the audience.
I had
seated time. Okay.
Yes.
I'm not really certain about our policy of seated times, but that's a discussion for another time. So you
okay.
can proceed with 6 minutes.
All right. Thank you. In the executive officer's report, the report stated that, quote, the PCB and benzidine exceedances that we referenced in our additional comments were incorrectly self-reported by US IBWC. US IBWC confirmed that PCBs and benzidine were not detected in the effluent. Instead, USIBWC reported the laboratory detection levels due to staff turnover and complications with their reporting software, end quote. SURF and Coast Keeper's review of IBWC's own self-monitoring reports reflect permit effluent limitations violations for both benzidine and PCBs spanning from at least 2019 through 2023. As such, we are concerned about the lack of evidence and information to substantiate the assertion that benzidine and PCB exceedances were, quote, incorrectly self-reported, end quote. Staff turnover, in our view, cannot explain exceedances spanning across 5 years. And similarly, complications with reporting software do not adequately explain 5 years of effluent violations. The purported explanation of incorrect self-reporting honestly raises more questions than answers to us about what is going on at IBWC. Coast Keeper and SURF request the board to provide additional information and clarity to the public, particularly in light of the substantial human and environmental health risks at stake. And I have a list of suggested questions I'd like to propose to the board, or I'd like to put into the record and ask the board to consider asking IBWC and asking Executive Officer Gibson. So I'll just run through those.
So hold on. I think it'd be appropriate if we have Mr. Rogers here in the audience to answer, to address the question you raised about the PCBs and the benzoid. I think it would be appropriate to invite him back up now.
Mr. Rogers, sure.
Benzidine or benzodiene?
We raised concerns about
PCBs. Yeah, that's easy.
PCBs and benzidine. Spelling is benzidine.
Chair
Cantu, if I could interrupt,
yes.
Board Member Warren has lost internet. I'm asking if we can have a short recess just to allow her time to reconnect so she can hear everything that's discussed today.
Certainly. Slight recess. We'll stop the clock.
Okay. I'll stand by.
Try to bring her on in about 5 minutes. She reports that the phone number that we provided her doesn't work. Give her another moment here. I've just sent her a text of the other numbers.
We are working on a workaround to be able to tie our board member who is remotely participating back into our process. So we're expecting a resolution shortly. If all else fails, we're going to have her call a cell phone and put it on the dais, and that'll probably suffice. But thank you for your patience.
Sound check, so go ahead and say something. No, we're not able to hear you.
I can hear you now.
Okay, go ahead and try again.
I can hear you.
That'll work.
That'll work.
Okay.
It wasn't too loud.
I thought so.
Chair Cantu, members of the board and public, thank you for your patience. We have Stephanie Warren on the cell phone. We will do our best to proceed with her. And Stephanie, can you hear us okay?
Yes, thank you.
Very good. Let's resume, please.
Thank you for all your heroic
ATP
efforts.
Video is recording and broadcasting now.
And thank you for your patience. So we're going to proceed with Mr. Rogers explaining how we had these exceedances and whether or not they were exceedances and the circumstances surrounding them. Thank you.
Could you turn on your microphone, please?
We do have accurate laboratory results. The problem was when we took those laboratory results and the operators at our plant using their software uploaded that data from their software up into CWIX. And I can say there was some inexperience. They had a turnover. The guy that knew the software left. I'm not sure. I don't think this is really easy software to use that we're using. But nonetheless, No, no, ours, the plant. Yeah, sorry. So there are some, it's basically, it was the qualifiers to the numbers. Instead of having came up as an equal sign, it should have been less than or non-detect. The laboratory results are accurate. The problem is just when we brought those up into CWIX that it got skewed. And
what did the laboratory results say?
It was non-detect.
And was it always non-detect?
Yes. Yes. We are looking at the data now to see how far back these errors occurred. And I believe they're just on quarterly reports. They're back to at least 2021. I think you said 2019. Okay. And so we're working with the water board to identify all of those and go back and put the correct data in there.
So you think there was a systemic inputting
yes.
process problem that went over years?
Yes. And I guess it was just apparently just realized. Well, we talked about it about maybe a year ago or, yeah, so.
So I thought, maybe this is a day you can correct me, part of CWIX, I thought we had contracts with laboratories for the labs themselves to upload to CWIX rather than having to go through, you know, another set of hands. Is that not the case? Is that something we were hoping for that we never got?
My understanding is that's an option for the discharger to authorize the lab to upload the data themselves. What USIBWC has elected to do through their contractor, Veolia, is for the lab to give the data to Veolia, and then Veolia uploads it into CWIX.
So they could have the lab do it directly if they so choose.
That's my understanding, correct.
Might be something you might want to look into.
Absolutely.
If you're having systemic problems.
Yes.
Okay. I think this is an interesting point that we'd like to hear the end of. So if we could, when you find this out, and our next meeting will be in February, if we could get an update as to what the ultimate resolution was, human error, or a detection of chemicals that we're concerned about, or whatever the resolution is, we'd appreciate it.
I'm fairly confident to say today it was human error in the upload. So the lab results are accurate. I also want to make clear that the plant was designed to remove organics, so it's not designed to remove PCBs or heavy metals. So if there is an elevated amount, it's not an indication of any failure of the plant. It's just information. So, but I'm working with Vicente on this very subject. We talk about it every week. So we'll.
And look into having the lab doing it directly.
That's absolutely. They can do that. I'll have them do that.
I'm sure they'll be happy to charge you for it.
Yeah, that too, yes. I'm happy to pay it too.
Good to know. Let's proceed. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Mr. Rogers. I have a number of comments related to Mr. Rogers' response from IBWC. I mean, this raises even more questions to us. You know, if they were having these kinds of systemic problems with their data reporting, why wasn't that reported to the board or to the public earlier? And how is that being investigated? I mean, I would request that the board consider revising the TSO to include a requirement that IBWC conduct an investigation of their data collection and reporting, and to get to the bottom of this, to figure out how much data was compromised, what does the current data look like? I mean, this requires more attention, I think. And this is a serious issue because we're talking about many, many chemicals, not just the two we cited in our letter, but at least half a dozen others, again, many that were banned in the US decades ago, that according to the effluent monitoring reporting data that was self-reported, were in significant violation of effluent limitations. And I understand, I acknowledge Mr. Rogers asserting that this plant is designed to treat organics. We're not disputing that, but the fact remains that this plant and the NPTES permit that governs this plant's operation has effluent limitations for these chemicals. And so if there are violations, that is a problem. And we have to get to the bottom of it, and we have to figure out if we're going to expand this plant and spend hundreds of millions of dollars, are we going to treat these chemicals so that they're not just being passed through the plant into the ocean, even under normal operation? That is a huge question. That is a question we are, Coast Keeper is going to continue to focus on in addition to these sewage issues. And so that, again, I would just formally request that the board includes a requirement in the TSO to fully investigate and report to the public on this data reporting problem. And if Veolia is the problem as a contractor operating the plant, or if the lab they're using, we need to understand what happened and why and how far back does that go? Because we only looked at data 5 years back in our letter. How far back does the data reporting, do the data reporting errors go? I just have a series of questions. If you don't mind, if you'll indulge me, I'll just read through those and then you can let me know if I still have a little more time to conclude. Thank you. Is that? Well, part of my 6 minutes was used by Mr. Rogers, so not to, you know.
Did we not stop the clock? Well, I don't think we've already had over
we
5 minutes.
We've stopped the clock for the break. He had 3 minutes and 19 seconds left. I started the timer when it got to 3 minutes.
Okay. If I could indulge the board, I think this will take
Please
me about
proceed.
A minute to read.
Please proceed.
If not, feel free to cut me off. So starting with the questions, does the board have lab reports from IBWC showing that these reported benzidine and PCB levels on specific dates were not in fact in exceedance of the effluent limitations? Is there any information or documentation from the lab and or IBWC regarding how the inaccurate reporting occurred, including but not limited to how staff turnover and or reporting software has led to this reporting? And then in terms of the timing, on which dates were SMRs incorrectly self-reported? And also, has the board received November 2023 effluent monitoring data from IBWC, and what does that show? Has the regional board directed IBWC to review other monitoring data? Has the regional board considered conducting split sampling of the SBOO discharge to ensure that accurate data is being collected on levels of pollutants in the ITP's discharge? And then one last question, have any other errors been identified aside from the errors for benzidine and PCBs? I understand Mr. Rogers is saying there's a potential that additional errors could be found. Just to note that SURF and Coast Keeper have identified numerous effluent exceedances for other toxic chemicals such as DDT, heptachloroepoxide, hexachlorobenzene, and toxaphene, which also span from 2019 to 2023. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other tests? Is there any other testimony?
Jason Giffen.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Chair Cantu and members of the board. I'm Jason Giffen, Vice President for the Planning and Environment Division at the Port of San Diego. The Port of San Diego appreciates the opportunity to, oh.
And you've taken the oath.
You know what? I came in probably a couple minutes after that,
okay.
So I'm happy to
Would you please raise your right hand? Do you swear the testimony you're about to give is the truth?
Yes.
Thank you. You may lower your hand.
Thanks. Thanks for that extra indulgence for me being a few minutes late. The Port of San Diego appreciates the opportunity to provide comments related to action item one on today's special meeting agenda related to the revised tentative time schedule order for the U.S. International Boundary and Wastewater Commission South Bay International Treatment Plant. First, we'd like to say thank you to the board, to your executive officer, Dave Gibson, and staff for continuing efforts to address ongoing effluent exceedances from the International Treatment Plant. Your board and executive officer have been advocating tirelessly for meaningful and tangible improvements to address polluted runoff and sewage in the Tijuana River Valley, and we support today's recommendation. As an environmental champion and the state-designated trustee for beach and submerged lands in the city of Imperial Beach, the Port of San Diego is committed to continue to work with its regional, state, and local partners to finally solve this public health and environmental crisis and to stop the discharge of sewage and trash in the Tijuana River Valley in the Pacific Ocean. The increased flows from storms earlier in 2023 and from Tropical Storm Hillary exacerbated pollution concerns, as you've already heard this afternoon, facing the region. And there is a need to take vital actions now. To that end, the district supports the regional board's efforts to correct and prevent further permit requirement violations at the International Treatment Plant by requiring the USIBWC to comply with the revised tentative time schedule order. The port continues to work cooperatively with the coalition of local stakeholders, the San Diego Regional Water Quality Control Board, and the EPA to identify solutions to address the transboundary pollution crisis in the Tijuana River Valley, including improvements to the plant. The port continues to encourage all agencies, including the Regional Water Quality Control Board and the IBWC, to use all available tools when implementing solutions to address transboundary pollution issues. So thanks very much.
Thank you. Do we have anyone else in the audience who wishes to address the board on this subject?
We have one person on Zoom.
And do we have somebody at Zoom?
Yes.
Let's Chris invite Helmer. Who is this person? And
Chris Helmer from the city of Imperial Beach.
Okay, Mr. Helmer, are you ready to testify?
Good afternoon, Chair Cantu and members of the board. My name is Chris Helmer, and I have taken the oath. I am the environmental director for the city of Imperial Beach, and I'm addressing you today on behalf of Mayor Paloma Geary. Mayor Geary is deeply concerned about the multiple years of deteriorating conditions at the IBWC treatment plant and the lack of federal actions to address the sewage crisis along the border, which has contributed to the systemic failures we are experiencing at IBWC treatment plant today. We have observed a persistent decline in the plant's performance, and we're concerned about inadequate staffing, insufficient capital investment in operations and maintenance programs, a lack of backup equipment, shortage of replacement pumps and parts, and a general failure to implement an effective sewer system management plan. Mayor Geary urges immediate attention and action using the full force of the enforcement authority at the San Diego Regional Water Quality Control Board to rectify these issues and prevent further degradation at the treatment plant. It's crucial that the federal government allocate resources to sufficiently manage the existing wastewater treatment plant and fund the larger efforts for a comprehensive solution that will ensure adequate wastewater treatment and clean water for the border region. We believe that the state of California has an obligation to compel the federal government at every opportunity to prioritize implementation of the Clean Water Act and advocate for a comprehensive solution to the sewage crisis along the border. We appreciate your attention to this matter and anticipate swift and decisive measures to address the violations at the IBWC treatment plant. We also want to express our full support for the comments provided on record by San Diego Coastkeeper and encourage the board to consider proposed revisions to the TSO that would ensure discharge limits are being monitored and reported properly under the existing permit. Looking to the future, we expect the IBWC treatment plant to receive the same level of oversight and accountability for urgent repairs that would apply to any other treatment plant in the region. We appreciate San Diego Water Board's efforts to monitor and ensure compliance at the IBWC federal facility, while you also actively plan for the best strategy to implement a regional solution that solves a longstanding sewage crisis along the border. That concludes my comments. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Helmer. And thank you to Mayor Aguirre for her longstanding commitment to help focus attention on this issue and help move this process forward. We appreciate that as well. Do we have any other comments from Zoom? Okay, so this is the time for the board to deliberate. We've heard a variety of testimony. Do you have any questions or comments at this point?
I have one question for Mr. Rogers, since through your response about the PCBs and benzodiazepines, that it seemed like there was some staff turnover and inexperienced people that were part of the problem. And the most recent comment talking about inadequate staffing, do you have a lot of vacancies or do you have any concerns about your staffing levels?
Well, we can talk about the IBWC staffing at my office and our plant staffing. We've been short a civil engineer at my office for a year now. So there is a staff shortage with my office. I think it is typical of the wastewater business that operators are very scarce. I think that even with the city plants, there are vacancies. I'm not sure it's the vacancies at the plant are a problem, though. I think that's just a normal course of business. So I'd say that having a point of contact that was the expert for the software leaving, and then someone else having to pick it up and learn it on the job, that's been probably more of the problem. I think if we can get our laboratory to upload directly to CWIX, that is definitely the way to go, and I will certainly look into that immediately.
Thank you.
Yeah, I guess I have a bit of a comment. I believe that IBWC and your contractor want to do the right thing. I think you wanted to do the right thing all the way along. I think, while I say that, I believe this problem is certainly the biggest one we've faced on this board since I've been here in over 13 years. But I don't believe that the rest of the country sees it that way. It's reported as a beach closure issue, and the rest of the country doesn't care if San Diego surfers can't go to the beach. You know, if they're standing in 3 feet of snow, that doesn't seem like a priority they should be spending their tax dollars on. I may be a bit old and crotchety when I say that, but that's what I believe. I'm hopeful that this order will tend to give us enough teeth that we can keep pushing that issue, because I believe the essential problem is, given public opinion where it is, our politicians and the big bureaucracy, EPA and State Department, just have always drastically underfunded the need for this. The fact that it's now affecting Border Patrol and the SEAL team training helps, I guess, get a little bit more public opinion behind that, political power behind that. But again, it essentially isn't reported that way. And although we firmly believe it to be a huge problem, the only way we're going to get continued funding and support from the bureaucracy and the politicians is to have something very specific like this order that we can hold people to and report when it doesn't happen and report why it can't happen. The fact that you've ordered all these pumps, tells me that for years you didn't have the money to buy pumps. And yeah, they all break and then you got a year lead time. So buying them now is a really good thing, and I'm glad to hear it. I'm glad that you're buying more than what you need, because you will need them. But that should have been how it was a long time ago. And the fact that it hasn't been tells us we have a big issue keeping this in the forefront and getting the kind of political pressure we need to keep you funded and able to do the job that I think you want to do. That's all I got to say.
I do have a suggestion. I you're familiar with Metro.
In California, I'm sure.
Oh.
It went off.
Oh, my goodness.
They come and go.
Don't want me to talk. They're probably right. So anyway, what I was going to say is they have a machine shop. And I know that when certain pipes have broken for wastewater treatment plants, and there was something special about how to have it constructed. So I'm just saying, I will give you a contact name. I think maybe your company might be able to talk to them. Maybe they could actually engineer whatever parts are so rusted out, and it would at least give you a temporary solution, because I think that's quite important. I just want to reiterate that I do think it's very important that you anticipate as you can this problem with secondary, because obviously if you only have primary treatment and it goes through the secondaries but they're not working correctly, you won't obtain your goals. I know that the board and myself, as one of the board members, is very committed to having this action be successful. I think this idea about notifying us 45 days ahead is very important, and I'm going to ask that the executive officer keep the board informed of any requests that will create another delay. I think we want to hope now that, at least as far as this process goes, that it will be able to be completed on time by the August 15th, 2024 date. I want to commend you for your cooperation with our staff who have been working on this, I know, very diligently. Thank you. I can't speak either. This entire time period, and I want to thank our executive officer and his weekly commitment to meeting with all of you and trying to keep things on track. My son lives in Imperial Beach, so I'll tell you, I have personal interest in it. And I just, reading over this, I realized we've only been to that beach once in 6 years. So we'd like to be able to, I grew up in Carmel, I'd like to be able to believe you could go to the beach every day if you wanted. So I'm hoping that we will all be successful in this. Thank you.
I guess I want to make the comment that we really rely on data integrity and the concerns that have been brought up. I appreciate, Chair Cantu, you asking, to close the loop on that investigation. And I just want to second those comments and request.
Thank you. Commissioner Warren, do you have any questions or comments?
I do not, thank you.
Thank you. Does our board staff have any final statements or anything to add?
We'd just like to say that we still recommend that you adopt the revised tentative order as revised in supporting document number one.
And Chair Cantu, if I could add in, I have already directed our monitoring, assessment, and research unit staff and our MPDS unit staff to work together on a data review to look at some of the questions that Coastkeeper raised and to make sure we can close the analytical gap on the analyses and the reporting. So we'll be working on that. I would like to commit to having a report in February. We will continue that effort, and I'll update you along the way. So if we don't have a final analysis, we'll at least tell you when one is coming.
And we would expect that IBWC would lend your utmost cooperation to be able to meet that deadline for a February board meeting.
I would just like to thank Coastkeeper and SURF for bringing that issue to our attention. As much as I wish we could spend a lot of time reading every single quarterly report, we focus on some of the high points and some of the key issues, like the achievement of secondary compliance. And while we are aware of industrial pollutants in Tijuana that have been discharged to the sanitary sewer there, our concern has been to make sure that the treatment plant itself is not upset by those chemicals and toxics. So far, that has not happened in San Ysidro. It has happened in Tijuana, according to the Director General of CESP about 2 years ago. So it is a very very legitimate concern and something we want to address. The manner in which we control the sources, however, in Mexico is a pretreatment question, and it's a pretreatment question that requires international engagement since the source water system is in Mexico. So we will continue to update you as we address these types of issues as best we can internationally through Minute 320 and Minute 328. If there's meaningful information or updates, I will provide them to you. But in the meantime, we are evaluating influent and effluent and trying to assure that we can protect water quality in the receiving waters.
So before we close our hearing today, it seems like there's been two major points raised. And my question to you is whether or not you think we need to amend the tentative order to accommodate those two issues. One is the data integrity issue and having a deadline of our February meeting to just do a forensics of what happened and how it's going to be resolved. And hopefully a direct upload from the lab to CWIX is the cleanest thing. And the other point is the point that Dr. Olson raised, which is the 45-day codifying the 45-day notice if there should be any slippage, which I really hope there will be no slippage. I know it's been a rough row to hoe, but we've really got to make progress and keep to our deadlines. This is a time schedule order. It allows time that we think is generous enough to accomplish what we've set out here. We really want you to comply with it. So you don't think those two things need to be codified in an order, and we will nevertheless feel safe that they will be adhered to?
My recommendation, Chair, is that we keep the order as is. However, I will be pursuing an investigation on the data analysis. We have other tools like 13267 technical mm-hmm. report directives that would get answers to very specific questions that, like the ones Mr. Muscov has raised today. And as for the 45-day, as we are meeting with IBWC on a weekly basis, I'm down there a couple times a month, my staff are down there every week, or a meeting on Teams, we're going to know long before we get to 45 days out if there's a significant issue, and I'll report it to the board promptly and timely. So we're not waiting till the end of the time schedule order period to find out things aren't on schedule. So far, I'll temper my optimism. The mechanisms and the steps that they've identified would be the ones to achieve secondary compliance. And if they aren't going to be, we're going to know that long before we get to May or June.
Very good. So will now the public hearing for this matter is now closed. And I'll call for a motion and deliberation on that motion. Is there a motion?
I would like to make that motion, please.
I'll second the motion.
Okay, and the motion I understand would be to approve the tentative time schedule order number Region Board 9-2023-0189. Is there any deliberation? Ms. Warren?
I have no further questions.
Thank you. Will the board clerk please call the roll?
Ms. Blair?
Aye.
Dr. Olson?
Aye.
Mr. Strawn?
Aye.
Ms. Warren?
Aye.
And Chair Cantu?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Motion carries. So you have your game plan in front of you, and I know you will work diligently to accomplish it. And stay tuned for February for an update of how the data is being transmitted to CWICS. That concludes our business today. Thank you very much and have a very merry season's greetings. We have one not scheduled issue, and that is a celebration that it is our executive officer's birthday later this week. And so we have a little card for you. So happy birthday. Thank you for all that you do. Birthday.